This is Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. UW System President Ray Cross has been on the job since earlier this year, but this month he's entering his first new academic school year. As the university system goes through a number of changes and faces a variety of challenges, we'll talk with President Cross about the state of Wisconsin's colleges and universities and the direction he hopes to take them in. So I'm wondering, you're entering your first fall semester. You've been on the job for about 6-7 months. How have things been going so far?
Well, they've been very busy. In fact, it seems like I've already been on the job a couple of years, but probably to a lot of other people as well. I think we're making some progress. I really do, in a number of key areas. But all of that's yet to be determined. These jobs are challenging at best, and the state's facing some difficult issues, and the university's interwoven into those issues. So together we're trying to work on those issues that are important to all of us.
So I want to talk about a number of topics that you brought up to the Board of Regents recently, last month. You addressed the regents and you talked about a transformed UW system that will have a statewide vision and be more future-oriented. I'm wondering if you can elaborate on that vision that you have for the system.
I'll try, and I'll try not to get too wordy in this process, Maureen. Systems were originally created to manage and control university growth. States created them during a period of just unbelievable enrollment growth, beginning after World War II. And then in that process, systems were established and became good at bureaucratic processes. And I mean that in a positive way. They were designed to mechanically control things. They weren't really designed to be statewide leaders, although some of that happened, but they were principally created to control, distribute resources, to manage things, not to lead. So because of that, they at this point need to change, and we need to collectively work together in order to have an impact on the kinds of challenges facing the state and not be independent, isolated entities functioning separate from one another, perhaps even doing different things that are at odds with what the state needs. So that system-wide vision as to what we should be doing has to be linked to the needs of the state. The state's needs have to play a bigger role in what the system's purpose should be all about.
So do you see a place for the university system to become more of a leader in the state? Because it seems like there are probably some people who would say that universities and the different people working in them are leaders in their in many different ways.
Oh, I would think that that's probably more true for the campuses, the institutional campuses in their region. Most certainly, they're more flexible. They demonstrate more of a vision for leadership within their regions. Can we aggregate that in a collective way to have an impact on the state's needs? I would also argue that I most definitely can see this in a positive way for the University of Wisconsin, in part because our size allows us – we're not as big as, say, State University of New York or California, so it's easier to communicate and effectively implement that kind of a vision. But I think it's important that the university be the resource for establishing these are the needs of the state tomorrow and the year after that and the year after that. At this point, we have a lot of folks, most often politicians, saying this is what the state needs. This is what we need. And their background may be or may not be adequately prepared to make those kinds of judgments. We need to use data to inform that, and we need to be saying to leaders in the state, this is where the state's employment needs are going to be 10 years from now. Help us get there. We need to be telling them that in a few years we will need PhDs in data science, those kinds of things.
Beyond job projections, are there other forms of data that you think the university could provide for the state in helping maybe shape the path that it takes?
I think so. It used to be that the university was leaned on more often to provide background and information about things. And extension often is particularly within its region or locally.
Especially with agriculture
especially
data.
Especially with agriculture and with natural resources and things like that. But I think there's a lot of room for that kind of engagement. Having the university do research and analyze things in collaboration with the legislature or with the agencies within state agencies. I would also point out that I really think that we need to get to craft a vision for where we want the state to be. Increasingly, the state's future and its future success and ours is linked to the new economy. And that new economy is going to be driven by talent and ideas. Clearly, those are the drivers. The university is the hotbed for both of those, period. And we have to help the state understand that, and they have to help us get in a position to better serve them.
So in developing this plan for the future, do you have your own ideas that you've been working out, or who will you be reaching out to kind of help craft what this vision may be?
Well, one of the reasons I'm in La Crosse is to sit down with business leaders tomorrow morning. How might the university more effectively serve you? Where do you see the needs of the state in the future? So part of this is a listening tour around the state. I have a broad picture here. Well, we need to be doing more to serve the state. That's pretty broad. Refining that into what that means and how it's effectively implemented is going to take a lot more work than just some dream or vision of Ray Crosse.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, we're talking with UW System President Ray Crosse. Another idea that you brought up to the Board of Regents recently was calling on universities to step up their efforts when it comes to working with college students who need remedial coursework. And you had said you want to reduce the number of students who require basic math courses, maybe as they enter as a freshman, and make sure more students who need remedial coursework actually finish that coursework in a timely manner. Why is this an issue that you've really honed in on?
Right now in the state of Wisconsin, there are somewhere between 150,000 and 170,000 job openings. Those are different, and we're not trying to use strict economic terms here. Those are different than job vacancies, et cetera. However, let's assume for a minute that we could put someone in every one of those jobs. Where would this economy be? And why is that important? Right now, the economy is growing and has grown at about a 3.3% rate. That is Wisconsin's economy on average over the last decade, 3.3% a year. By the time you withdraw inflation from that, we're down to 1 to 1.5%. It has little to do with politics. It has more to do with the workforce. We are in an era of declining high school graduates. In fact, it's about another 4 or 5 years before that jumps up slightly. So we have fewer high school graduates. We have an out-migration of working-age adults. Those people between the ages of 20, 22, and 45 are leaving the state to the tune of about 10 to 14,000 a year. Now, it's not fair to look at that number alone because many of those return when they're older. So the total migration is not as severe as it sounds, but the critical part is that working-age adult. And then the third part, the whole state is getting older. So on average, there are counties in this state where the average age is already over 60. We need working age adults, and they need to be equipped with the tools to participate in the new economy. Those three demographic factors are our destiny. So we don't have a choice unless some miracle happens. We have to get more of the students we have through our education system and prepare them to participate in the new economy. We have to do that. That's why remedial is so important. We have to do a better job of that.
Do you think that, I mean, because some may hear that and think, well, shouldn't that be up to high schools or even kindergarten through eighth grade? Why the university?
I think it is up to high schools, but I would argue that it's too easy for the university to say that's their problem. It's always someone else's problem. We want to own that too. We want to say, well, we produce the teachers for that system. What do we set the standards? What is college readiness at this point? It's we communicate that in so many different ways. High school faculty they probably look at that and say, well, this institution wants this. This institution wants that. Can't they agree upon something? Yeah, that's what we have to do. I think being clearer about our expectations and then working much more closely with K-12 faculty in math, that's our focus initially, helping to clearly establish our standards and articulate those effectively is an important part of the problem. We believe, and I've set a goal of reducing that need from 21% to 14% over the next 5 years. And I really think we can do that just by being clear and holding those standards, working with an early math placement test, et cetera. Right here in La Crosse, the MOOC has been the math MOOC, I think, has a lot of potential.
Which is the online math course.
Which is the online math course. Yeah, it's excellent.
Are there other institutions you've looked towards? You mentioned UW-La Crosse and the math readiness course that it provides online. Are there other universities that you think are handling this situation correctly?
Correctly
might not be the right word.
Yeah, we're all trying to – there are other institutions, several of them within the UW system, that are doing things that are different, and they appear to be successful. All of those are things we're looking at. There are three or four of them right off the top of my head that I would mention. UW Colleges has some of that going on. Parkside has some of that going on. Milwaukee has some of that. I also know that Oshkosh. I could go on.
Sure.
They're all experimenting with a little different thing. I'm not sure we're sharing the successes or effectively critiquing it to determine what are the key factors in that. But that's what we're trying to work on.
You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Today, I'm talking with UW System President Ray Cross. So I want to talk about higher education and affordability. People have been calling on finding solutions to make higher education more affordable. Is this anything that is a priority for the UW system? And is the system looking towards finding solutions and making higher education more affordable?
Absolutely. I almost want to enthusiastically jump through the microphone here. I think we've always been interested in trying to make things affordable. I do believe that we have to be much more diligent about action that considers the price to students, and not just in the classroom, whether it's in the cafeteria, or it's in the residence halls, or in other activities. It has to be throughout. Now, tuition is frozen for the next couple of years.
And that was decided this June. The Board of Regents approved that decision.
Yeah. Well, they'll have to approve it again next June because it's approved on an annual basis, but the commitment is there. However, that's only a piece of it. We have to find ways to increase the compensation of our faculty when you compare them elsewhere. It's something that a lot of folks in throughout the state may not recognize. It. Faculty, for the most part, compete in a national market, particularly the good ones. And when someone can come in and offer them a 25 to 30% raise and a number of new amenities, why you begin to think, well, how can we compete? Some of those are going to happen anyway. I understand that. But we have to find ways to make sure we are retaining and attracting quality faculty. If we don't do that on a consistent basis, then we're in a downhill decline. And right now we're somewhere between, depending on rank and time and tenure, we're somewhere between 13 and 18% in most ranks, faculty ranks. We're somewhere behind their clearly established peer institution salary ranges. Now, when I put those two together, you're freezing tuition. You're trying to hold costs down over here. Your state revenues are down. How, Ray, do you intend to deal with some of that? I don't know. But that's part of the challenge in that I really think we have to find ways to save money in the non-instructional side, the backroom operations, if you will, those things that aren't directly interfacing with students, to shift resources more heavily over to the instruction side.
What do you mean more by backroom?
Well, IT, computer operations, things that tend to be, in the business world, back office stuff. Mm-hmm. Can we find more efficient ways to do that? And when you talked about a statewide vision, the second piece of that is a strategic management process, leveraging our systemness, if you will, to the advantage of individual institutions by consolidating operations that they each may have backroom operations that and we'll never get rid of all that, but I mean, how do you consolidate some of that in ways to shift those resources over to the academic side of the organization? That's just one possibility. Collaboration, much more collaboration. The whole world is moving in that direction, and we have to as well. If we hope to take some of the limited resources we have and realign them with our strategic directions.
And I know none of this is set in stone, but as you say consolidation, I'm sure some people may think red flag, that might mean jobs lost.
And not necessarily, because what it does mean is that there may be other things. A normal job attrition in the university, in a university like this where, I don't know, you got 40-some thousand employees or more than that. Normal job attrition may simply mean shifting people around. But we do have to find ways to realign our existing resources so they more effectively match the state's needs and are serving the state in that way.
In regards to the tuition freeze, this is something you did advocate for, correct? Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you can talk about why it was important to freeze tuition for another year.
Well, I'll have a little fun with that, if I may, Maureen.
Mm-hmm.
As a student, I think it's important that we do what we can to hold costs down. I don't think tuition is high here. I think it's reasonable. However, if you were to tell that to a parent who has two children in higher education within the university, they would say, oh, my goodness, what is that president thinking? That's ridiculous. I understand that. For the average family, this is difficult. And we are a public university, and that's critically important. So I don't apologize for that at all. What I am worried about is finding ways to make sure that we're providing a quality education while we're doing that. And this, as the state has reduced its resources to the university over a year, every state's done that. There's declining state contribution. We've all concurrently raised our tuition amounts in order to offset that loss. And I think we have to be much more aggressive in looking at other sources and other ways of doing that.
And some universities have said that with the tuition freeze, that's put them in difficult positions when it comes to funding. And as you mentioned before, it can go along with faculty raises and just any other operating expenses at the university.
Yes, and part of this is the fund balance issue that the institution's system faces. Even though people don't understand that whole issue, it's a cash balance. So at least 40% of that balance, I have a bill for, I have a purchase order, I have an invoice, something against that. And so in a normal accrual accounting system, that wouldn't be counted as cash at all or a balance at all. It's a bill that's due. And then there's another 20% of that that's committed for replacing a roof or fixing this or fixing that. Could we reallocate that? Yes. But the fund – so we really don't have that much money in reserves truly available. However, there are some folks who believe we shouldn't have any. And part of the process is convincing people the volatility of year-to-year enrollment of even state aid, of things like that, requires that we mitigate against that with some level of reserves. so we can make adjustments because we can't do them quickly. The second part of your question is I think it's important that we resolve that in a way that people understand it and we clearly communicate what we have. But the second part of your comment was this varies by institution within the system. So there are several institutions that are making, in fact, most of them are making significant base cuts right now and have last year, and many more will be doing it this year. They do not have the reserves in order to shift them over to cover some of these cuts. Now, I would argue that we should be making some cuts. I'm not disputing that. What people don't realize is that we just can't make those cuts quickly. This is like a huge battleship. It's difficult to turn and takes a lot of energy. But we are making those, and we're trying to do it wisely, but it's not equal across the board.
While state funding has come down for the UW system, and as you said, this is going on in other states too, not just Wisconsin, is there any sense that that trend would be reversed and that maybe more money could be coming towards the UW system once again?
I think it's rather bleak, but that doesn't discourage me because I think there are lots of opportunities and great arguments for what we're putting forward. But let me try to put that in context a little bit. First of all, the state has actually increased the actual dollars to the university, but the percentage of the state's budget that is dedicated to higher education or distributed to higher education has gone down. And that's in part because of all the other competitive things seeking those funds. Medicaid at this point is about 17 or 18% of the state's budget. In another, 8 to 10 years, it'll be 30 to 35%. So as their demands grow, the amount of money necessary to maintain and build roads, the K-12's portion of the budget is growing. We get squeezed because we're within that discretionary amount. We're not mandatory kinds of funding. So we have to make the case in a very clear way that connects what we do to what the state needs to do. The second part of that challenge is that we think in long-term time periods, higher education is, a four-year kind of cycle. We're thinking 10 to 20 years out what the state needs. The state thinks in short term. Something's got to be fixed now. It's a short-term mentality. How do we reconcile both of those? I would argue that it's on the backs of the university, to use a horrible idiom here, it's on the backs of the university that the state's future rests. We need to be doing things well. I agree, and we all may differ about how best to do that. But if the university is doing well, the state will do well. And I think that's an argument. I would enjoy having that conversation with legislators throughout the state. I believe every one of them agree with that. There's not a one regardless of party. I think, though, they may differ about how to do that. And that's a fair conversation.
As the top advocate for the UW system, I am curious about your relationship with legislators because as I had heard from some people back in the springtime, there was this sense that maybe you could close the gap and maybe help bridge that relationship between the university system and legislators more. Do you feel like that is something you've at least been working on, or is that something you want to work on more?
Well, part of the process is it's just relationship building. Do they know you? Do you know them? Do you care about them, and do they care about you? That's just good human relations. I would argue that relationships are, I would think, better. I think they have been told that. But a lot of this is a result of legislators reaching out to me and reaching out to the university. They want the university to do well. They may differ with us about how best to do that, and they don't mind telling us. But they want us to be successful. That's just you can just feel that when they and part of the reason they're frustrated is they feel like we could be doing better. Now, having said all that, I think the relationship only gets you in the door. It only allows you to have the conversation, as it should, because you want legislators to be critical, to be examining things, to be careful, to scrutinize us carefully. We want that. And as a taxpayer, I want them to do that. So I think that's really important. Do your job. Hold us accountable and scrutinize us carefully. And I hope we receive that well. We should. That's their job, and we want them to do that.
UW System President Ray Cross traveled to La Crosse recently to visit the UWL campus and meet with business leaders. You're listening to Newsmakers from Wisconsin Public Radio in La Crosse. I'm Maureen McCollum. Coming up, a discussion about animal welfare and autism with Dr. Temple Grandin. She's been a leader in both, designing humane livestock practices while having Asperger's syndrome. To hear audio archives of today's show, visit our website, wpr.org/newsmakers. Our site also has archives of other recent editions of Newsmakers. And if you'd like to share comments or make a suggestion for a future show, you'll also find links to our producers and staff. That and more at wpr.org/newsmakers. For updates on future shows, links to our archives and photos, like us on Facebook at WPR Newsmakers.